One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 18, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Don't let the week go by without J-E-L-L-O.
Today, publicity for Penelope Lacey. Six blocks straight down from the Barber family home in Seacliff, San Francisco, Jack Barber parks his car in front of his sister Claudia's house, where the front door swings open as he goes up the steps.
Hi. I was watching.
I'm sorry it took so long, Claude.
You drove. Going somewhere else?
I got a date with Ross, too. Big night.
What would you do without the family business?
Well, I'd like it if I had a 48-hour day.
Come on in the study. We won't keep you long. Nicky is just sick about that thing in the paper. Nicky, Jack is here.
Oh, that's good of you to come, Jack. Please sit down.
All right, Nicky.
Well, you can imagine. Claudia tells me there was still another item about Penelope to appear in a gossip column.
Yeah, same column. Night before last.
Do you remember what it said? Claudia swears she can't recall it.
I guess I tried to forget it.
I don't remember either exactly. Something about what glittering glamour gal?
It made it very specific. Executive of the Telegraph Hill fashion show.
Oh, you do remember.
It's coming back now.
Yes, I see.
Let's see. And what much married advertising executive were gay in the Southland last week?
Perfectly dreadful. Can't anything be done about this sort of thing? I mean, isn't this libelous?
No.
Well, the last thing we want is publicity.
There you are.
Of course, this last item is such ridiculous double talk, Nicky needed an interpreter.
Father Barber apparently had no difficulty with it. He telephoned me about it.
Did you read it, Jack?
No, Dad mentioned it. I didn't read it.
Well, you should.
Read it to him, Nicky.
No, you. I can't abide it.
Let's have the paper. A certain outraged suburban matron in a sizzling shade of green recently visited an ultra fashion shop atop Telegraph Hill, and her handbag thumped alarmingly every time she moved it. Question under the neons, what was in it besides money?
Yeah.
That thump of the handbag? Jack, Claudia says, I find it difficult to credit.
It means she carried a gun.
It means that Sally Drew, the columnist, thinks Mrs. Bennett carried a gun.
Bennett. Is that the name?
Yeah, Mrs. Charlie Bennett. Her husband is Charles Z. Bennett of Bennett, Sells, and O'Brien. They handle the advertising for IAF, as well as Lacey Fashions.
Now, what sort of a bounder is he?
Oh, he's a man of enormous energy. Works very hard all day and has enough left over to stay up half the night.
And very handsome.
Well, if you like the type. Have you talked to Penny about this?
We tried to. Tell him, Nicky.
Penelope packed up and moved out.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. When?
Tonight.
I shouldn't have said anything, of course. A girl past 21, running her own business. An intelligent parent should confine himself to comments on the weather and the latest shot at the moon, but well, this was getting to be a bit too much, you know. Yes, she's gone to Sausalito.
She called up Pinky. She's leased the penthouse at the Savoy.
Isn't that fantastic? Nobody but Consider Martin or a tax-free foundation could possibly afford the penthouse at the Savoy.
That's to show us how independent she is.
Well, my real concern now is a thump of that handbag. Apparently, this woman isn't too well balanced. Tell him what you told me, Claudia.
Oh, I'm sure Jack knows. Mrs. Bennett got into the papers once before.
Yeah, she threatened the secretary, according to Betty.
She certainly did. She went up to her husband's office, put a loaded antique pistol on the desk, sat down, folded her arms, and stared the secretary out of countenance.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I heard it.
And the secretary promptly resigned.
Not only resigned, she went into foreign service, according to Sally Drew. That was once in her column, too. That girl seems to get all the news.
All that's fit to print and some that isn't.
Yeah, has ways of finding out.
I wish you'd tell us what you think we ought to do. You know, I'm consulting you, Jack, not as a brother-in-law, but as the family solicitor.
Attorney, Nicky.
Solicitor will do.
Yes, it covers a larger area. I realize that this has every prospect of being an exceedingly unsavory bit of business. If you think you could talk to Penelope, after all, you handle her tax affairs.
Oh, sure, I can talk to her. I don't know if it'll do any good, but I'll give it a try.
Well, I really wish you would, Jack. And if there's any way to warn this columnist, I'd appreciate that, too.
Well, lawyers read that column every afternoon before it goes to print. They won't scare too easily.
And after all, as I told Nicky, they haven't printed anything that was really untrue.
But they've implied more than they've printed, Claudia. I hope you don't mean what they've implied is true.
I'm trying not to think about that part. I hope it isn't.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family. In the handsome brochure written by William H.M. Murray on the Sears Savoy of Sausalito, the hotel was called the most modern of Seaview structures, a poem in glass and steel, a miracle of convenience. Jack Barber leaves his car in the underground parking space and rides the convenient automatic elevator to the lobby floor, where he finds his nephew Pinky, the night manager, at a lobby desk looking very professional in his dinner jacket.
Front boy. Boy, these flowers go to the penthouse.
Hey, Uncle Jack.
Oh, there, Pinky.
Big news. I finally got a tenant for the penthouse.
Yeah, I just heard about it.
That's fast. I just rented it tonight. Oh, that's why you're here?
May I sit down?
Oh, pardon me. Here, this chair.
I suppose you know Sally Drew.
I know everybody.
To read her column tonight?
Sure.
You think it's true?
Sally prints it, she can prove it. That's what they say about her. Sally says the Bennett dame had a gun in her handbag, then she's not only had a gun in her handbag, but Sally knows its registration number.
Tell me this. A guest or a visitor could take the elevator from the garage directly to the penthouse?
To the penthouse floor, sure. But then you have to ring the doorbell. The door has a lock, a chain bolt, and a sliding panel. If you ain't safe there, you ain't safe anywhere.
Penny moved here to be safe?
Well, no, she outgrew the old homestead. At least that's what she said.
Is she up there now?
Yeah, unpacking.
Would you announce me?
Sure, but I don't think she's going to be too doggone enthusiastic. The whole idea was to get away from the family.
You announce me anyway, will you, son?
Yeah, excuse me. Lobby, Mr. Murray speaking.
You're a darling, Pinky. The flowers are beautiful.
We do that for all the big shots.
Do you always write a card like this? With love from the night manager?
Well, no, that was special. Hey, Penny got a visitor down here.
Who?
Uncle Jack. He wants to come up to see you. Penny? Hello?
Gosh, they move fast, don't they? All right, let's get it over with. Send him up.
More of the Barbers in just a moment. In the penthouse, an eight-room mansion on the roof, Jack finds himself sitting in a chair too low for comfort, facing his niece across a modern coffee table with legs 3 inches high. He bends forward to keep from tumbling back.
All right, say it. Say it all, Uncle Jack. Let's get it over.
Look, I'm not going to render a judgment. As your lawyer, I owe you whatever help I can give you, and from a strictly business point of view, I don't like the kind of publicity you're getting.
My name hasn't been mentioned.
Emily Stewart can read between the lines. Innuendo spread like wildfire.
My father and mother sent you here, of course.
This is my busy night, Penny. I'm on my way to see Ross, too. Will you answer a couple of questions, lawyer to client?
I'll examine them. I may not answer them.
Okay, examine this one. When was the last time you talked to Sally Drew?
The last time, and you don't know how perfect that is. The last time was in my shop at least a week before I went to the advertising convention. And there'll never be another time, I'll tell you that, because I'll throw her out, and she knows it.
Did you tell her yourself you were going south to the convention?
I might have said something about it. I don't remember it. I doubt it, but I might have.
Of course, your staff knew you were going.
Certainly, it was business. They had to know. My assistant made the plane reservation for me.
She also made Charlie Bennett's?
What are you implying?
Sizzle down now. Wait a minute. I had lunch at the press club the other day. Some of the boys at the next table were talking about Sally Drew in the column. Sally pays for information when it's good enough, and her best informers work in beauty shops and fitting rooms, where somebody said they get the news ungirdled.
Fitting rooms.
But you ought to know. The way things are going, you'll probably land on page one, but you might keep out of the columns if you can find out who can be trusted in your own shop and who can't.
Thanks very much.
I have one more item for the record.
I'll bet you have.
You've disappointed me. I really thought you were too smart to get into one like this. Call me when you need me. Good night.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 19, Book 133, That Dinner at Queenie's, Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama continues over most of these stations.